Welcome to the Sunday morning podcast from Kingdom Faith Church in Horsham. This message is by Clive Urquhart.
Faith has a sound, and that sound is released through our mouths. Because what you believe, you speak. When we don't believe, we don't speak, because we don't believe. Something else is likely to come out of our mouths. But when we believe, we speak. And so faith is not a mental assent to the word. Faith is a conviction, because we believe what God says, either in His word or by His Spirit to us. And when there's that conviction, you then speak. It doesn't even have to be spoken with a shout, because when you believe, there's an authority. And when something is spoken with authority, the enemy has no answer to what is being declared and spoken and released. Just stay on your feet. There's some wonderful promises that Jesus gives about prayer. He says, have faith in God. I tell you the truth, if anyone, he says, if anyone, who's an anyone in here? Well, we're all children of God, but we're an anyone. I'm one of those. If anyone says, not if anyone thinks, but if anyone says to this mountain, go, throw yourself in the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that what they said will happen, it will be done for them. Amen. What a wonderful promise. Therefore, I tell you, look at this. The next verse on, whatever you ask in prayer, believe that you have received it and it will be yours. What a wonderful promise. What an amazing promise. What a wonderful promise. And you only need faith as small as a mustard seed to move a mountain, according to Jesus. That's tiny faith. We only need tiny faith to move great mountains. When we all believe, most of us believe in God here today, believe who He is, that's faith. So to believe that God is alive, He's real, that He's in you, you're a child of God, you have enough faith just from that to move mountains. Why do we know that? Because Jesus starts it by saying, have faith in God. So if I know God, you're real, you're alive, you're in me, and you are the greatest, that's enough faith to move mountains. Wow. How many mountain movers do we have in here? How many mountain movers do we have in here then? Two hands in the air, everybody around the room, right? What's another promise? If you remain in me and my words remain in you, He's the living word. As we cultivate relationship with Him, He's remaining in us, abiding with us. He's persevering in us, and we in Him. It says, anybody, my word, if you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done. He knows that if we're abiding in Him and we want to know His word and His will and His way, what He puts in us is what He wants to do. And therefore, what then flows out of us in prayer is, this is the heart of God. This is the will of God. So I speak that. I declare that. And because there's a conviction, this is what God's saying. This is what He wants to do. Well, I understand. I see it. I've heard it. And then you speak it. And there's a release of God in the situation. Amen. Anybody believe this stuff? What about this one? Matthew 18. Gee, this is for us lot. I tell you the truth, whatever you bind on earth. The word bind them is to prevent, to prohibit, to forbid on earth. Will already have been bound, will already have been prohibited and forbidden in heaven. And then whatever you loose, whatever you permit on earth will have already been permitted in heaven. Wow. So what is prayer? Prayer's cooperating with God, sitting on His throne, looking for those who are available and listening. And then they'll just say whatever He wants to bring into being. Are you there? Lloyd, quick, come up here, mate. Okay, stand at that end over there if you will, please. Thanks. Colin, can you stand this side, mate? Thanks. So, stand right on the edge, facing that way, facing across the stage towards Colin. Okay, so Lloyd's going to be God. Okay, Colin's an individual or a circumstance or a family or a scenario, a group of people, whatever it is. Okay, he represents those that don't know Jesus or something that God wants to do in someone or in a group of people's lives. Okay, then Rosie, do you want to come up? Rosie, just come over here. Stand here. So Rosie's the believer. Okay. She represents the believer or believers, a group of people, okay? And I know nobody will want to play this part, but we need someone because I'm going to keep darting around. Who wants to be the devil for a moment? Okay, you come up then. Okay, just stand in front of Colin, facing, well, you can face him for a minute, okay? All right. Now, what have we been talking about? This is what happens. See, God is on his throne. He's on his throne. And all of us lot, we're down here on earth, okay? And there's a mixture of people on earth, believers and those who don't believe, okay? But God has a purpose that he wants to work out on the earth. And so what he's looking for is someone or some group of people who first of all are available. Because to even listen, you've got to make yourself available. And so we make ourselves available and we're then listening. Okay, Father, we're worshiping you. We love you. We want to walk with you. We want to know you. But there are things that are not yet done on earth. I might be saved, but there are many that don't yet know Jesus. There's stuff going on in the earth, in the world, the earth and the world are two separate things. There's stuff going on in the world that shouldn't be going on. And God calls his people to stand in the gap between heaven and earth, and he wants to transform people's lives. Amen. And so what God does when we make ourselves available, he downloads his heart into us, and we believe what he says, and we take hold of the word or as an individual or together with others. And it says there, when two on earth agree about anything, my Father in heaven will do it. Amen. Which is the next bit after the verse we just read. And so what does the believer do? The believer begins now to pray into the situation and speak what God wants to do into that situation. So God wants to work through a believer or his people in some way, and he wants to speak into the situation, okay? There are some things that... I've written a line down here. I have to find it. There are things accomplished in prayer that your hands cannot do. There are some things that can only be accomplished in prayer that your hands cannot do. Then, coupled with that, there are things accomplished in prayer that then enable your hands to do. Do you get that? Both are really important. The prayer releases something, does something in the spirit that no matter how much we do, won't accomplish. But when we're praying like that and there's a release of God, that then enables us to then do whatever God says for us to do in the situation, following the release in prayer and whatever God's been doing in the spirit, to then go in his name and see that outworked in someone's life or in a situation. Are you there? How many of you believe this stuff? Okay. Now, we know that there's somebody who is resisting what God wants to do in an individual, in a family, in a community, or in a church, or in a nation, or in the nations, or in a continent. And the enemy has all kinds of tactics and things that he seeks to do to stop believers, first of all, even believing that when they pray, something's going to happen. And so the enemy, if you can turn around, the enemy, when people begin to hear God and begin to pray, the enemy starts saying to that person or that group, this ain't going to work. Your words are going to fall to the ground. Look at the state of your life. Look at how you are with this person. Look at that person. And the enemy accuses, lies, wants to throw loads of stuff. How many of you, whenever you've been praying, you want to spend time with the Lord, and suddenly you start thinking about all the things that you need to do? You suddenly got a list, or your phone bleeps or goes off, or you suddenly think, oh, I forgot to text that person, and you go for your phone, and then before you know where you are, 20 minutes has gone, and you realize, I haven't got time with the Lord now. I've got to go and do whatever. I've got to go to work or something. Anybody ever had that? Anybody, when you've gone to spend time with the Lord, you suddenly feel drowsy, a bit sleepy, and you start reading the Bible, and the next thing you think, oh, I've just nodded off. Anybody had that? Where does that come from? Because you weren't dozy when you were reading the book, you know, your novel that you're reading. You were really engrossed in it. You weren't falling asleep reading that. As soon as you get the Bible out, what goes on? What's going on? There's somebody who wants to mess around because he knows how powerful it is when a believer believes what they're praying and decreeing and speaking, because he has no answer to a believer or a group of believers, because Jesus says, when two on earth agree about anything you ask for, it will be done for you by my Father in heaven. Well, if that's not a guarantee to pray to get answers, I don't know what is. Why do most Christians not pray? Why do most Christians not gather together to pray for their own church or for their community or for their schools or the council or for breakthroughs or release? Why? Because fundamentally, a lot of Christians don't believe that if they pray, it's going to make any difference. Because there's a cloak of apathy, there's a cloak of unbelief, there's a cloak of muteness over so many believers. And God is wanting to remove that muteness over any of our lives and anybody else, any believers, that because the devil knows the power of the word spoken through a believer who believes, he has no answer. It cuts him down. It removes him out of the situation so that, you know, all right. So, well, yeah, great. Yeah. So that God's word goes right into the situation to break things open spiritually, right? And what you'll find most of the time is the people who pray, who seem to be at the other end of their prayer quite often, and it's mainly people who pray have actually got the stories and the testimonies of what God's doing. Why? Because often when you hear somebody give a testimony, they go, well, I was praying and I felt the Lord say to me, go and do this. I was like, oh, right, okay, well, I don't know what to do, Lord. So they pray, I prayed about it and prayed into it, and I felt the Lord said, do this. And when I went, the person got healed. Or when I went, or whatever, this happened. Are you there? Most of the time when Christians aren't praying, generally, they don't have any stories. Why? Because we're not listening, we're not available, and we're not responding. We're just living our lives in the way, and God's in there somewhere. We go to church on a Sunday, we go to a group in the week, whatever we do. And without realizing it, we've got into a certain way of life. And what God is doing, he's shaking the tree at the moment. He's shaking his church. Not just us, Lord, but the whole church. He's shaking the tree because he's saying, hey, wake up, come alive. There's so much that needs to happen in the world, in an individual, in a family, in a community, in a church, in a nation, a region, whatever it is. And if we're not these people, who are going to be those people? Because we are the church. We are the church. I mean, we are the church. And the world needs a church that is alive in God. As a community of people loving and serving and laying their lives down for each other, but understanding that together we are like that because we're on a mission to see lives transformed. And a town, a community, a region, a nation beyond impacted with the gospel of the kingdom. Amen. How many of you believe this stuff? Amen. Bless you guys. Thanks. You can grab a seat. You can sit down for a minute. Thanks, guys, for leaving. You can keep playing. It's great. Thanks, Jen, for the way you just flowed this morning. And let's thank Jen and the guys, shall we? So important. Because there's activation, there's release, there's life, 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 life. See, we're halfway through our prayer and fasting time. And why do we pray and fast? We pray and fast basically for breakthrough. Because what happens in our lives is we live in a certain way, each of us individually. We live in a certain way and we get used to living that way. We get comfortable with it. Where we are with God or where things are going or how things are. Yes, there's stuff we might be concerned about, thinking about, want to change and all of that that's going on around us. But it's easy to get into a kind of thing. Then when you people like me say, hey, let's have a couple of weeks or a few weeks of prayer and fasting. Some of us go, whoa, yeah, come on, prayer and fasting. Some of us go, I'm going to feel hungry for 2 weeks. I don't know, or whatever it is. But what happens is we live in a certain way, and then we step aside from that for a week or 2 weeks, three, whatever it is, okay? And what we do is we say, right, I'm going to put aside some things, and instead I'm going to focus myself more on who God is. And what happens is in that, you encounter God in a fresh way. You hear his voice in a fresh way. There's some things he speaks to you about in your own life, because none of us are perfect. How many of you in this last week have already had some things the Lord said to you where you're like, okay, Holy Spirit, I need to just shift? Or was it only me? Wow, I'm talking to the perfect church here. Wow, this is amazing. Wow, thank you, Lord. Anybody want to swap places? And so what happens is when you come out of a time of prayer and fasting, there's now a new normal. There's a new normal. It's not, well, I've done that now and I'll just go back to that groove that I was in. Prayer and fasting helps us get out of grooves that keep us in a certain place or a certain way or a certain whatever. And so God does fresh things in us. But then what we do, we don't go back to that. We carry on in this new normal and we grow in all that God is saying and doing. So we continue to seek him and pursue him and go after him because we want to know him more, right? And then whatever response is needed from that time. And so there's adjustments, there's recalibration, there's all sorts of things during prayer and fasting. Because what we said last week about the Christian life, to live a consecrated life, it's just the Christian life. The consecrated life is not a hardcore Christian life for those who really want to be hardcore Christians. The Christian life is being dependent on the Holy Spirit. I can't live this life on my own. I might know a lot and you might know a lot, but knowledge doesn't help me live the Christian life. It might help me in some ways, but I can only live this in the power of the Spirit, right? What's the next one? Being rooted in the Word. Jesus, then, if you remain in my Word, you can ask whatever, which leads into prayer. So rooted in the Word and living a strong prayer life are connected together. They go hand in hand. See, the Word enables me to think like Jesus. The Word enables me to speak like Jesus. The Word enables me to act in the way that Jesus wants me to act. Are you there? Rooted in the Word also, when everything in the world is coming flying at us and around us and everything, it enables me to stand there going, right, there's a lot of wind, a lot of storms, a lot of stuff going on, but the Word is enabling me in all this stuff that's going on. I'm rooted in the Word, so I'm not going to be taken over here somewhere to believe that lie or get caught up in this latest trend or whatever. I'm rooted, even though there's a bit of this going on, I'm rooted. I thank you, Jesus, that your Word is enabling me to stand. And then understanding that cultivating a strong prayer life is the engine room of your spiritual life. It will flow into every other aspect of your life, relationships, work, neighbours, whatever is happening in our lives, that strong prayer life. And sometimes we think, I've got to go from 0 to 100 in one go. No, you just start or you just continue. But sometimes you have to set your face because the enemy says, you haven't got time for that today. You've got too much on. Or you didn't do that yesterday, you've got to do it this morning before you do anything else. Or whatever it might be. Or your prayer's not going to matter. Waste of time. You didn't feel God this morning, did you? So what a waste of time that was, wasn't it? When you spend time with God, you're supposed to feel his presence and encounter him like you do when you're in encounter night. If you don't get that, God's not there. He's like, I'm not going to go and talk to you today. I mean, the enemy says, well, how many of you get any of that? Or is it just me? Sometimes you spend time with the Lord and it's like, wow, God, you are here. And other times it's like, I'm here on my own. But I'm not, because he's in me and he's with me, right? Fourth thing, love those around us. Can't do that without the Holy Spirit. How many of you know that? Just look around the room, right? And it's like, I need the Holy Spirit. Listen to this. We need the Holy Spirit to love ourselves. Okay, because he loves us with an unfailing love. Okay, anyway, so loving others, the fourth thing. This is a consecrated life, but it's the Christian life. Fifth one, share the gospel, tell other people about Jesus. And the last one is making disciples. Here's a question for you. If we're a follower of Jesus, but we're not discipling people, or in a context of him being in that, are we following Jesus? That's a tough question. Because the Christian life is not a life you do on your own, you do with others. So we walk together, and as we walk, let's just get rid of a misnomer about discipleship. Discipleship is not one-to-one. We all think, if I said to you, have you ever been discipled? You'd all go, well, I don't know if anybody's actually discipled me. Jesus never discipled one-to-one. He discipled in groups, threes, 12, 72, whatever. He discipled in groups. The only time you see him talk to an individual is often when he wants a little question because he wants to correct them or bring a rebuke of some sort, a correction, because he doesn't want to embarrass people in front of someone else. So he pulls them aside and says, look, we see that in certain places in the Gospels. There might be a few conversations with an individual, but his discipleship wasn't, I'm going to do one-to-one. I'll do, right, disciple one here, disciple two here, disciple three, all the way out to 12. And he's trying to work out, how do I get time in my day to do one-to-one with everybody in the week? And then he sent 72 out. So when is he going to spend time on his own with each of the 72? That he's not going to send someone out that's not going to carry his DNA, right? So when did he have time to spend individual time with each of the 72 people? He didn't. So he said, come follow me. And I'll make you, I'll show you, this is what it's like to live this life with me. Just hang out with me, be with me. And we are discipling one another more than we realize we already are, right? Because when you hang out together, you're discipling each other. What you talk about when you're with others is either going to encourage and strengthen them, or it's going to sow other stuff into them. Are we there? Because it's how we're living the Christian life. What's God saying to you at the moment? When we're with other people, do we ever talk about what God's saying to you at the moment? Or do you only talk about whatever's going on in life and what you're upset with and what the government are doing or what's going on here or there? Or do we actually say, so what's God saying to you? I don't mean you turn it into a Bible study, but you might just say, so what's God doing to you at the moment? Well, he's I've been so encouraged. He's been taking me this scripture. I've been in it for like 2 weeks and I can't get out of it. And he just keeps reminding me of this. And so it's changed the way I see myself in this. Or he's doing a work on me towards my neighbours or whatever it might be. Do you know what I mean? And it's wow, that's encouraging. And you know when you do that sort of stuff with people, sometimes the other person was like, wow, I feel really convicted. That's really challenging. Wow. Holy Spirit, would you, wow. I want to see that in my life. Do you know what I mean? That's discipleship. That's encouraging and strengthening each other, or it's an aspect of discipleship. Okay, stand to your feet then. That's an encouragement to pray, eh? You see, they prayed 2 years later. They only found out that's what happened. You know, and sometimes we don't pray because we want an automatic, I prayed and then by the tomorrow morning, it was not happened yet. That was a waste of time. Do you know what I mean? And actually, we don't know what is going on necessarily at any given moment when we pray. I call that the now of God. 39 were praying in one nation and then in another nation at the same time, 39 angels are standing around all of those guys. And it's the now of God. And I believe God wants to encourage us with today, with prayer, and to be unmuted today. To be unmuted, spiritually unmuted, which in worship, just the freedom and liberty to worship, but also in prayer, to speak, declare, and all that is involved in prayer. But just the now of God, that we're in a time of prayer and fasting. God is speaking, God is working, he's encouraging us in this whole area, okay? The power of prayer, the now of prayer. The kingdom works. Prayer, without prayer, the kingdom doesn't work. Prayer isn't one of the key essence of the kingdom of God and what he does in that sense. And so what I want to do, just take a moment. I don't know if some of you hopefully feel a bit unmuted this morning. Maybe you've sung out or you've responded or you've been yes or whatever in a different way than you normally do, okay? But what I want you to do is just take 1 minute, okay? And whatever it is in front of you that we looked at right here, anything that wants to stand in front of you, like the enemy saying, your prayers aren't going to matter, la, 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 whatever it might be at that moment. I just want to take 30 seconds now because time's running out. So, right, I'm not going to be muted any longer. I'm not going to be silent any longer. You need to declare that yourself, not just say yes or amen to that. You need to put the words in your mouth. Say, I am not going to be muted spiritually any longer. I am not going to be silent any longer. I'm not going to be silent in worship. I'm not going to be silent in prayer. I'm not going to be silenced by the lies of the enemy. I'm not going to be silenced by the taunts of the enemy. I'm not going to listen to his lies, because he who is in me is greater than he who is in the world. And now just thank the Lord. Father, I thank you that your word is a double-edged sword in my mouth. Just declare that out. Thank you, Jesus, that your word is a double-edged sword in my mouth, and it cuts through all the stuff of the enemy to bring release and breakthrough into situations, into lives, and all that God wants to do. Amen. Just say, my prayer makes a difference. When I speak in his name, there's release and there's breakthrough in situations. Amen. 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 Bless you.
Thank you for listening to this Kingdom Faith podcast. We trust it's been an encouragement to you. For more information and resources from Kingdom Faith and our other audio and video podcasts, please visit www.kingdomfaith.com.